WNYC Studios is supported by the Brennan Center for Justice, presenting The Failed Experiment of Mass Incarceration. This virtual event on Wednesday, April 17th at 3 p.m. will feature criminal justice advocates and contributors to the new book, Excessive Punishment: How the Justice System Creates Mass Incarceration. They will discuss why the American approach to criminal justice is so punitive and how reforms would prioritize human dignity and restoration over retribution. Find more information and register for this event at brennancenter.org/events.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
In the meantime, if you watch a lot of television, you may be less happy than someone who doesn't. That's from a study by the University of Chicago's General Social Survey that's been collecting data about people's daily activities over the last 35 years. It turns out that instead of watching TV, happy people spend their free time socializing, participating in religion, and reading newspapers. But does this mean that if you turn off your TV, you'll actually be happier? Well, maybe, maybe not. Joining us to explain is the author of the report, John Robinson, professor of sociology at the University of Maryland. Professor Robinson, welcome to WNYC.
Well, thank you.
How much less TV do happy people watch?
It works up to maybe about 6 hours a week altogether, in estimated time spent watching television.
So another way to look at the stats, very happy people watch TV 30% less than unhappy people, correct?
Something like that, yes. Now, considerably less, yes.
Now, that's an association. Can
right.
you attribute cause and effect? Because I could
not
come
at
up
all.
I could come up with a theory that says, well, people who are depressed or who don't have a lot of friends might wind up watching more TV to compensate.
Exactly. So I always say that it's an interesting correlation, but we need more study to really take a look to see which is cause, which is effect,
uh-huh.
which is chicken, which is egg.
So you're not at all suggesting here that watching more TV makes people unhappy?
Not that we can tell, nor the reverse.
Nor the reverse. Did you measure internet use and happiness?
We've looked at that. That's one of the things we've looked at. There doesn't seem to be any association there. As a matter of fact, as we looked across the 10 activities that were asked about in the General Social Survey, 9 of them either showed no association or that people who were busier doing the activity were happier. That is, things like socializing with friends and relatives, going to church, reading a newspaper.
So how would you pick apart, or at least, you know, start to hypothesize? We can speculate here. This is journalism, not academia. How would you start to pick apart the difference between the association between unhappiness and more television watching, but lack of association between happiness or unhappiness and internet use, two different kinds of media?
Exactly. No, I think what we need is a kind of study called a long-term panel study where we follow the same people across time and see those if those who watch more TV become unhappy or if those who are unhappy watching more TV.
Yeah.
I think then we have a better handle on what's going on, and also probably taking a look at the type of programs they watch.
Although at the end of your report, you do say that this finding has parallels with addiction in that it produces momentary pleasure to watch television, but maybe long-term misery and regret. So you're drawing some kind of conclusion or at least hypothesis there.
Well, it is one line of thought, but it's not the only one. As I say, it can go either way.
Do you think there's shame associated with watching TV that contributes to people feeling bad about themselves?
I'm not so sure that really shows up. In general, people seem to, for example, estimate the amount of time that they watch pretty closely. It doesn't seem like people are. People estimate they watch about 3 hours a day, and then we have time diaries in which people keep track of their viewing for a particular day along with other activities. And we find just about the same numbers of hours per week, about 21 hours a week.
21 hours a week, or the average American watches about 4 hours of TV every day. I think it roughly averages
out. It's more like three, I think.
3 hours a day. So
right.
That would mean that by age 65, a person would have spent maybe 7 years watching television?
Your math is faster than mine. So if that's the way it works out, it is. It's a lot of time. And I think the broadcast industry's show numbers that are much larger than that, actually.
Jim in Union City, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Oh, hi. I was just wondering, I can't attest to being any happier, but I had gone without television for about a year, with the exception of when I was visiting, and I had more dreams that I could remember. It seemed that television watching suppressed my dream cycles, or those that I could remember.
That's interesting. Maybe because it's the kind of medium that tends to suppress imagination. But, Jim, thank you. Interesting. Have you ever measured that?
No, have not gone into that. Again, we're simply looking at main activities, and the thing that was surprising is that when we looked at those 10 activities, television stood out from the other activities as something that the more people did it, or the unhappier people were, the more they did it.
And this comes from 35 years' worth of data from over 45,000 people, correct?
Yeah. Yes. So the association is really more like 40. I mean, that we've looked at is more like 40,000, but or 30,000 other people. But it's a lot of people, and we've
that's
also
still a heck of a sample. You know, they do these presidential preference polls over like 800 people, and they say that stands for the whole country.
Indeed, and in some cases it turns out that way. I think the general social survey is distinctive in that it's been done for such a long period of time, and the quality of sample is much better than I think most surveys that are conducted.
Right.
It's also the case we've been supplementing that and may provide some of the explanation for what's going on with studies of what people actually do. That is, we've been doing those for about more than 35 years also.
What do you mean actually do?
Well, as we go through a typical day with people, what do they do when they got up, and then what do they do next, and what do they do next? And so we have a fairly close look at what it is that people do on a typical day. And television viewing showed its biggest increase between 1965 and 75, and has been steadily increasing since then. Maybe a slight downturn in the last decade or so, but it retained its place as the number one free time activity. It's more than about half the free time that people report in these same diaries.
We have just a few minutes left with John Robertson, sociology professor at the University of Maryland, finding the association between watching TV and being more unhappy. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, if you want to slip in on this real quick. So what does this mean for the legions of unemployed people we're having with us now? A probable increase in TV watching at the very least.
That's what our data would lead us to believe. I mean, we haven't had a situation quite as dire as I think the economy that's being projected or the one we're in right now. But in general, the major activity that goes along with TV viewing is not working. So as more people are unemployed or have their work hours cut, we should be able to expect, if that relationship holds up, we should expect people to, the TV companies to do well. Of course, there'll be advertising products that probably people are not going to be able to afford to buy.
Let's get another call in here. Judy, can I go to Judy here on line two? Judy and Randolph, you're on WNYC. Hi, Judy. Oh, I have to click you like this. Judy, now you're on the air. I'm sorry.
That's okay. A few years ago, they did a survey where they asked people what made them the happiest, and they basically said being with their children or being with their family and doing different activities. And when they monitored them, they found out that actually what made them happiest was watching TV. So it was contradictory to what they said.
Yes.
It actually was what, because they were able to monitor what made them the happiest. Isn't that?
You know that study, Dr. Robinson?
I haven't heard about that one. I'll have to check up on that. Thank you.
All right. That's pretty interesting. Lewis in Asbury Park, you're on WNYC. Lewis?
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Hi.
My question is, I always thought a lot of TV watching is boredom. Now, does boredom equal unhappiness?
No. The question asks whether people are happy or not.
Well,
not whether they're bored.
Did you, thank you, Lewis, did you get at, did you ask a boredom question?
We haven't checked that against the TV viewing yet, no.
Did you ask people to define or describe what their notion of happiness is?
No, it was simply a question of how happy they were.
And
now, we've also supplemented that with questions I was going to mention earlier, the diary studies that we've done. We've asked people how much they've enjoyed various kinds of activities, and somewhat what, like your caller suggested, we find that TV is relatively high among the activities that people engage in. So we wonder whether that short-term happiness, however, may translate into long-term unhappiness. So we're getting two different indicators, and so again, I think we have that need to do a long-term study about which is chicken, which is egg.
Janice in Westfield, you're on WNYC. Hi, Janice.
Hi. I wondered whether or not there was any study of the content and the timing of when people watch TV. And what I said to your screener is that I, for instance, to sometimes cheer myself up, will watch Jon Stewart and will watch Jay Leno, just by way of example. And I do that because they're funny. I know I'll laugh, and it'll cheer me up. Also, I would say that for me, the timing is important. I think it's no accident that programs like Jay Leno are on at 11:30, 11:35, because, laughter helps people to feel happier.
Janice, I'm so glad you raised that, because we didn't make any distinction between different kinds of content until
right
now, Professor Robinson.
Yes, exactly. Well, I enjoy those same programs, so I'm in the same camp that you are, and it does provide that. What I think this and maybe other studies suggest is that
that's right. We're almost out of time anyway. I think we're
okay.
Going to give Hope in Brooklyn, partly because of her name and partly because of think what she has to say. The last word here. Hi, Hope.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. Give us Hope.
I don't have a TV in my bedroom. The less TV I watch, kind of more relaxed and happier I feel, like I don't have to race to meet up to some requirement to buy all these things to make other people happy. And sometimes you don't have the money to do that. And that makes you feel bad as well.
Hope, thank you very much. And, and we didn't even get into the question, Professor Robinson, of if you watch on your own schedule. Maybe TiVo makes you happy, while being a slave to the network schedules makes you unhappy.
I'm trying to do this for people who...
I think Dr. Robinson is off to his next appointment. Thank you very much for being with us. John Robinson, professor of sociology at the University of Maryland. I have a new theory, Dr. Robinson, which is being distracted makes you happy, you think? Maybe not. Okay. Thanks a lot for joining us. You're off now, so don't worry about it. All right. Thanks to all of you for listening. And don't forget, you now have a choice. You can listen on AM 820 WNYC to President-elect Obama unveiling his economics team and taking questions from reporters. Or you can listen to the Leonard Lopate Show as usual on WNYC FM 93.9. The choice is yours. Either and both are available on our website, WNYC.org. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.